You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Acts chapter 9. We want to pause to praise your holy name, to thank you for this privilege, another opportunity to share in the Word. May the Holy Spirit be extra kind this morning as He energizes of Himself, as He makes Christ come alive in this act of conversion of your faithful servant, the Apostle Paul. And may the Holy Spirit be kind to us in a very special way as He warms our heart, making us cognizant of your presence. This according to our need and according to your grace. We look to you now as you cleanse us and sanctify us for this blessing. And this because we ask it in the name and for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen. Pick our thinking and pull it together. Since we departed from the book of Acts last week, we want to come back and arrange our minds in a consistent manner, realizing that the book of Acts, as we've seen through 8 chapters already, that it was with an emphasis toward a faithfulness toward the house of Israel, that God was acting in the manner in which He did at this time, was miracles, signs, and great wonders. And you'll recall that in the 7th chapter, we saw how that Paul, then known as Saul, had gave the order for the stoning to death of Stephen, as he declared God's faithfulness. And in the 8th chapter, we have a picture of the church being scattered abroad from Jerusalem. And they went about everywhere in Judea and Samaria preaching the word. That little chapter 8 is sort of parenthetical. It fits in between the regular course of the study. But in our lesson today, we pick up again where we left off in the 7th chapter with the activity of Saul as he continues to wreak havoc amongst God's people. And he came right from the high priest with orders to go to Damascus to deliver the saints there who were practicing the way. You might notice in verse 2, this way. That's what Christianity was called in its early beginning, the way. And the reason for that, Jesus said, I am what? I am the way. You see? Yeah. And everybody that practiced the way were in danger. There's a movement, I think. I met a bunch down at Norman some years back who call themselves the way. But they kind of strayed away from the way. They just picked up the name. But anyway, that was the name. And as he journeyed to Damascus with these orders, full of zeal, and Paul speaks of zeal in his own life as being that of greater zeal than all the others. He speaks of himself as being the leader of the insurrection against Christ. That's how great his zeal was. I think there's a wonderful lesson to be learned in this. There's a lot of people who have a lot of zeal today who are working their heart out for the enemy. And we don't like those folk. But you see, if you can arrest and apprehend a man like Paul, then anybody can be arrested and apprehended. Paul, writing about his conversion years later, said, I was the chief, I was the leader of the insurrection. But for this cause, I obtained mercy, that in me, God might show forth his long-suffering grace. I became a pattern for them that should believe hereafter, so that there's nothing too hard for God. Even Jimmy Carter can be turned around. And that's a kind of a dirty pun, but I believe that. But in any case, while he's traveling on the road to Damascus, it says that a great light came down. And he heard a voice. And Paul said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Jesus, whom you've been persecuting." And it's interesting what our Lord said, "It's hard for you to kick against the pricks." It tells us an awful lot that those who are fighting against God all the way through this fight, God is throwing up the truth, and they're kicking against these bricks, you see. So they're not exactly innocent of what they're doing, even though they have the zeal of Paul. I'm sure that everywhere Paul went, the face of Stephen came before him. Because it says, you remember the 7th chapter, when Paul gave the order to have Stephen stoned to death, it said that Stephen's face was the face of an angel. And Paul never forgot that vision. It was hard to kick against the bricks. And so the truth, you see, beloved, is the greatest weapon under the sun, or above the sun for that matter. The truth. Jesus is not only the way, he's what? He's the truth. And thank God he's also the source of life, you see. Yeah. Paul found that out on the road to Damascus. Sooner or later, every one of God's called people travel the road to Damascus. There's not a single one of us that's been saved by the grace of God. And there's no other way today that have not been apprehended by the Lord Jesus Christ. Not maybe as spectacular as this, but nevertheless, that's what took place. And Paul said, what do you want me to do? It's interesting what our Lord said. Notice. In verse 6, he said, "What will you have me to do?" And Jesus said to him, "You go into the city." It should be totally noticed and put the underscore, the word must. What you must do. You see, it's not a question of for a saint, a one who has received Christ, what he's to do. It's a question of what he must do. And as Jesus said, this is the work of God, they ask him that question, what shall we do to do the works of God? John Gospel, and Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom God hath sent. Now that isn't just to get saved. That's the work of God. So that our activity, irrespective of what it may be, whether it's sweeping the floor, taking care of children, running a bank, being the President of the United States, even being a preacher, it must be, if we're going to be working for God, that we believe in the very thing that we're doing, that it is energized, that he is the source, that he is the one who is the driving force. If it isn't, then it falls, all our works then fall into three categories. Our works are either evil works, and I don't need to enumerate those this morning because all of you are well acquainted with that in your own life. Now, of course, that's not true with me, but it is with you folks. And anyway, that's one thing I don't need to tell you about. You know plenty about that. But there are some good works, and then there's some dead works. The dead works are those works, beloved, that are energized of you. The good works are those works that are energized of God. This is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom God has sent. Everything else, beloved, is either going down the drain or it's going to be rocked up against you. It's bad. You see? This is what you must do. Now, and Paul, you know, and the men which journeyed with Paul stood speechless. They heard the voice, but they couldn't, they just heard a mumbling of words. They didn't know what was said. And they couldn't see anything. They just saw a bright light. That's all they saw. And they scattered. But, of course, when things got down to normal, why, they come back to see Paul. And then when Saul arose from the earth, his eyes were opened, but he saw no man. He was blind, you see. They led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. He was 3 days in without sight and did neither eat nor drink. Interesting thing, in the book of Hosea, it speaks about when God will pour out of His Spirit upon the nation of Israel on the third day, what? He raised again. Here, what a picture Paul is of what God's going to do with that, with His called out in the future ahead. See? He's going to come down with His light on that nation. See? And for 3 days, they're going to be in a state of blindness. I mean, literally, they don't know which way. They know there's something happened. They've heard a voice, and they don't know which way to turn. And you know who's going to come and enlighten them? Elijah. And we've got a picture here, and right here, and this man in the night, we're going to see about him in a minute. Beautiful picture. Hosea the prophet speaks about the third day when Israel get their eyes open. That's the sixth chapter, incidentally, verses 1 and 2, if you like, for a proof text. But anyway, we turn now to another side of the picture of this drama. And it is a drama. And please get in the atmosphere of it. Try to live in this. Try to become a part of it. Because it's so apropos in how God does still work with us. There was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias. Word disciple means a learner, a follower. And who was he a learner of, and who was he a follower of? That's what's important, you see. And we soon learn. There was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I'm here, Lord. The Lord said to him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire into the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prays. Has seen the vision of a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. The Lord said unto him, Go unto him. Go thy way, for the chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and children of Israel. And I'll show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. One day, the Lord is going to say to Elijah, it's time. Elijah's coming back to that nation, Israel. On the third day, they're going to get their eyes open. God's going to pour out of His Spirit upon them. We have a beautiful picture here. That Paul says in reference to this, I was one like what? Born out of what? Due time. Ahead of time. Beautiful picture. And it's also a pattern of how God apprehended us. But we read, Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, past tense, blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, according as He chose us in Him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world. The same Christ that met Paul on the road to Damascus is the same Christ who meets us, you see. Same one. The more things change, the more the things remain the same, you see. Same thing. Beautiful. And I, what a picture again. Ananias, you know, said, that fella, bad man, bad fella. But go back and read Elijah. What was Elijah's feeling about Israel? He said, they're all gone to hell. I'm the only one. I'm the only one. No. You got that wrong, Elijah. I got 7,000 men who have never bowed the knee to Baal. Last year we was in Jerusalem. Saw them old men with them black hats on and sideburns, whiskers. Not long hair, but sideburns. But the ears are open, not covered. Them long black hats crammed down on them with a shawl around their neck at the wailing wall, you know. Day and night. Wailing, wailing. Crying out to Jehovah. They're still there at the wailing wall. You go there any time of the day, they're there. God's got his 7,000 there, you see. They're blind as a bat, but they're there. They're the witness, you see, to God's faithfulness. They're there. That's all they know. They've got a scale over their eyes. And you notice that that's exactly what it says about Paul. Look at verse 18. There fell from his eyes, as it were, what? Scales. You see? Imagine the language that the Holy Spirit chose. Exactly what Israel's condition is today. They're blind with the scales over their eyes. Oh, don't worry about it. You go, they're going to be a witness for me to the Gentiles, to the rulers, and to the children of Israel themselves. That's exactly what Israel's call is. It's through that nation that God is going to evangelize the nations, the Gentiles. That's one of the main reasons for the salvation of that nation. See what a picture we have just in the, if we just read between the lines, it's not hard to see. And you know, the thing about it, Israel is going to be a real firebrand in God's hand too. We have times in history where God has raised up a man that pictures this over and over again. In the early church, we had Ignatius. We had Justin. We had Augustine. We had Jerome. Long way, though, between them men, until finally we come to a few men in Italy named I'll move up, add a little bit more to Huss up into Czechoslovakia. And then finally in Germany, Luther. And then in Scotland, Knox. Later on in England, the Wesley boys. These were all firebrands, you see. And for a little while they glowed. And wherever they were, they turned the world upside down where they were, you see. But Israel nationally is going to do that too, as a nation one of these days. It's hard to picture in the day if you know the Jews now. They're so far away from God. But one day they're going to be. But they still have their 7,000. And I saw them at that wailing wall crying night and day there for God to do something. And God is going to do something for him. If he is. Well, we learn that after Paul, verse 19, received meat, was strengthened physically. You see, we need to be strengthened. We need to be a full orb man. Can't go one way. We need to be full orbed physically. We need to be full orbed mentally. We need to be full orbed spiritually. Now, you reverse the order. It's spirit, mind, or soul, and body. But I gave it in the order in which you appreciate. Paul said we pray for your whole spirit, your soul, and your body. That's the proper order. But we need to be full orb, the whole man. And when Paul was strengthened physically, remember, he hadn't eaten 3 days. You ever go out eating for 3 days, you get pretty weak. And he was. But he began to preach then, after that. Verse 20, he preached Christ. He didn't preach a philosophy of men and arguments of humanity, but he preached Christ. If you listen to all of the different intellectual programs, and there are lots of them, boy, just run out your ears. They never reach a conclusion because they don't have a source, you see. But when you have Christ, you have the answer. He preached Christ. And everybody was amazed. I can imagine how everybody would be amazed today if some of the men that we know who are the enemy would begin to turn around and do other things that they ought to be doing now. We'd be amazed. And the people were there, and they were amazed at what they saw. And they said, isn't this the fellow that's been destroying God's people? Isn't this the man, isn't this the group of people that have been destroying our country? It's amazing what God could do, you see, if God's people would really shape up. But in spite of that, he said in verse 20, Paul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews, which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. That's what was central, you see, there. When you're dealing with a Jew, there's no use talking about anything until you've laid the groundwork, which is Christ. That's what Paul was doing. He was preaching Christ. And he was proven. And after many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. Now that many days is told about us in the book of Galatians. If you turn to Galatians, we'll see what that many days included. Paul is writing about that experience of his early conversion. Can begin reading in the first chapter, verse 11. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation, or the unveiling, if you will, of Jesus Christ. For you heard of my manner of life in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and I wasted it. And I profited in the Jewish religion above many my equals in my own nation, being exceedingly zealous the traditions of my father. But, and here's one of those buts in the Bible, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Now, Paul was well aware of his experience on the road to Damascus of being apprehended of God. But it was the revelation of Jesus Christ that explained to him that this didn't happen just on the road to Damascus, but from the very time that the life breath was put into his mother's womb, God had set him aside to this end. And the purpose was, verse 16, to reveal his son in me, in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles. And immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia, and I returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, stop right there for a minute. 3 years, Paul remained at Damascus and in Arabia. Now, in the ancient maps, ancient Arabia came within about 2 miles of the city of Damascus. And so when we put the two things together, since he was preaching in Damascus in the daytime, read about that a while ago, and he said he went into Arabia to learn, what do you think happened? Well, I think, if you read, add the two things up, that Paul spent his nights in the deserts of Arabia and his days in the city of Damascus. At night, he was taught for 3 years by the revelation, the unfolding, the unveiling of the Christ. Well, what a teacher. Sat 3 years at our Lord's feet in the deserts of Arabia, and into the daytime, coming back in. Oh boy, did he have the proof. Said he preached Christ to them. He got acquainted with Christ, you know. And the amazing thing is, 30 years later, the passion of his life was that I might get to know him. Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? That had become the whole ball game, you see. Well, in any case, hurriedly now, because our time's getting away from us. 3 years later, after this revelation from God and preaching, he went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Well, the apostles saw none but James, the Lord's brother. We learn that back in Acts again, that when he came to Jerusalem, verse 26, that the disciples were all afraid of him. They wouldn't have anything to do with him. But verse 27 tells us that Barnabas evidently had heard from Ananias. And so he knew what had happened in Damascus. And so he took Paul and brought him and explained to them. Verse 27, Paul took him, brought him to the apostles, declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. He just stayed there 15 days on this first journey. The reason for it is, as he began to speak, verse 29, the word Grecians there is Greek-speaking Jews, not Greeks. This is Hellenists. They were not Greeks, but they were Greek-speaking Jews. And this was quite common because the rank and file of the Jews themselves did not actually speak Hebrew. Greek was the universal language, just like English today in America. The average Jew cannot speak Hebrew, he speaks English. And so it was the arguments that he had with them, and they went about to kill him, and so they took him away to Tarsus, let him go to Tarsus. Now, Tarsus was Paul's hometown. He went back home. And we read that the churches then had rest. Why? Well, because the one who was the leader of the insurrection was no longer leading the insurrection. And they hadn't had a leader to replace Paul. Pretty hard to get a man to replace Paul, you know. And so the churches had rest. For a while. Not very long, but for a while. My time's gone. We'll pick it up there next week. Father, we thank you again for your word and your faithfulness, your patience with us, your grace. May the Holy Spirit be pleased now to use the things we've discussed to the edification of your people, to the fulfillment of your purpose, yea, to the winning of the lost. Be gracious, Father God, for Christ Jesus' sake. In his name we ask it. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.